I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
So my agent just hit me and said that I'm going to be on TMZ tomorrow from an altercation that happened with me and Nina. I just wanted to get ahead of it. I mean, it's really not anybody's business. It's pissing me off that it got out, but it's the world we live in today. And stuff like this happens, bro. You know, we try to live the best lives we possibly can, but sometimes it don't go as planned. You know, we're back talking. I'm seeing my kids. So just keep us in your prayers.
It's Earl Thomas, who's on the market right now. This was when the news broke over the weekend on Saturday. Tom Pelissero talking about things coming full circle the day before the Ravens released him.
Ravens sent home their star safety, Earl Thomas, yesterday. Told him to go home from the facility after a practice altercation with his teammate, Chuck Clark. Now, the Ravens are back on the practice field right now. Earl Thomas is not out there. I am told that the Ravens told him to stay home today.
And then they sent him home permanently yesterday.
And then you start to realize that this was, first of all, it had to have been a really big deal. We haven't seen the details of what happened, but this was not some small altercation or small event, you know, of any by any stretch. And it's clearly indicative of some bigger problems that Earl Thomas has been having. And nobody's going to touch him. Nobody, except maybe the Cowboys, who seem to be clearing some money for him. Nobody's going to touch him.
Seems like it's been a long time coming. John Clayton, formerly of ESPN, he's stationed out in Seattle. He was just talking about how this has actually been happening for a few years. Earl Thomas getting more and more combative, more and more intense, more and more frustrated, more and more grumpy. This is John Clayton going through the final couple years of Earl Thomas's time with the Legion of Boom in Seattle.
Here's how intense he was. You know, when he was getting his second contract with the Seahawks, he wanted to be the highest paid defensive player. And you know that's not going to happen for a safety. They were offering him $10 million to make him the highest paid safety. Well, he got so furious at that, he just fired out all these different type of texts to the general manager that weren't very complimentary. And then ultimately took the $10 million a year deal. When he was coming down to get his next contract, he comes back, he holds out, you know, he puts himself on the field at the beginning of the season, and then he breaks his leg right in front of me when I was on the sidelines. You know, he gave the number one salute to Pete Carroll and to John Snyder, which ended his career here.
So he's texting the GM because he wants to be the highest paid player, and then it ends with him flipping off Pete Carroll. What about in Baltimore? What went down in Baltimore, Professor, with Earl Thomas, and why is Earl Thomas a free agent now?
He goes to Baltimore, and he's more intense to a negative degree. He got into a fight last year with one of the defensive linemen. He has not really been as attentive in picking up some of the defensive things. There's rumblings out there that particularly you saw in the play that caused the fight with Chuck Clark, that it was a missed assignment. And the number of missed assignments have grown to a point where the players didn't like him. And so they voted on it and decided, okay, we're going to cut you.
Man, that's huge. First of all, that he's missing these assignments and isn't really committed to, allegedly, according to the players anyway, who voted him out, doing the assignments and doing the work that goes into it. But then also that the players to a caliber of Earl Thomas's stature, the guy's a stud on the field. He's got his issues. We've been talking about it. But he was an absolute stud on the field. For them to say, no, thank you. His teammates telling him that, no, thank you.
And the fact that he's not happy there says a lot about you. Where can you be happy if you can't be happy in Baltimore? John Harbaugh's a player's coach. You had the best record in the league last year in the regular season. Like, if you can't be happy there, you're damn sure not going to be happy in Houston. So hell no to Earl Thomas. By the way, Lamar Jackson, 27 days away from Texans versus Ravens. We're 17 days away from Chiefs versus Texans. Lamar Jackson has a little groin injury. which can be a small deal, but it's also something to keep an eye on, especially for someone who moves as much as Lamar Jackson. Sometimes you get that groin injury with a few weeks left in camp, and it does not go away.
You know me. That's one of my big things. I hate soft tissue injuries so much because they don't go away, and even as quickly as you'd like. And even when you think it's gone, all of a sudden you go and turn up the jets a little bit, and it pops again, or it does. It bothers you again. No, that's not a small thing by any stretch.
Browns nickel corner Kevin Johnson. Remember that guy?
I remember him.
He was released from the hospital Saturday. This does not sound like a normal football injury.
A whole lot of suck.
Oh, come on, Biggie. What's wrong with you? Lacerated liver is the injury for Kevin Johnson.
You realize how hard you have to be hit from the outside to lacerate your liver?
Sometimes Kevin just runs full speed and just dives to where he's almost like a crash dummy out there.
Yeah, 15 yards downfield.
Can you let the guy at least,
teed it up.
Can you at least
don't put this on me.
Can we let his prescription at least pick expire before pick you? Can we let him pick up his prescription before we start holding court and telling
you
Kevin
don't
Johnson
act
jokes?
All innocent over there. You know you were teeing it up for me.
Good Lord. Jared Stidham of the New England Patriots competing with
six
Cam Newton
interceptions
for that starting
in spot. Four practices.
He's been doing that, and he also has an injured hip. Per NFL Network, it's going to be several weeks before he's back to 100%. Can we just name Cam Newton the starter now?
Yes, we can. We could have done it as soon as they got him. I'm not saying Stidham isn't going to be good. You know, we don't know. We just flat out don't know. But they didn't bring in Cam Newton to play backup.
9531 on the text line asking about Jonathan Greenard. Is it possible for him to push Scarlett? I would think so. But it's probably going to be one of those situations where, because there aren't preseason games, it's going to have to be a couple games into the season with Greenard taking advantage of the chances that he gets. A lot of times, if you're going to push someone like a Brennan Scarlett, you're going to have to see, like, oh, wow, look at Greenard in preseason game one. Oh, preseason game two, he plays an entire half, and he's out there with the quarterback, and that's where push. I think if he is going to push Scarlett, which I think would be an ideal scenario for the Texans, he looks bigger. I mean, he looks the part. There's a little more length to him. I think it's going to have to happen, you know, a few weeks into the season. That's where we're going to see that happen. It's not going to be like, he won the job in the preseason. I don't think they're watching practice enough or have an evaluation. And furthermore, I think Brennan Scarlett's a very good practice player.
Yeah.
So
that's how he made the team.
It's going to take some time for that to happen if it does.
And Aaron Wilson reporting that Jonathan Greenard did not practice today.
Well,
so when you're a rookie, you don't miss practices. You're not J.J. Watt out there just pacing yourself. So it had to be some sort of, you know, precautionary thing, or maybe he's got a slight ding or something, but he didn't practice today. You got to be out on the field.
Outside linebacker coach for the Green Bay Packers, Mike Smith. He had a rant that I think will touch home to a lot of people in Houston. Regardless of what side you sit on this, I feel like this has been a debate that we've been having for 4 years now. Double-digit sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Jadeveon Clowney, one of the most polarizing players that's ever played here, did not have double-digit sacks. And a lot of people question Jadeveon Clowney because of that. Mike Smith, by the way, used to hoop with Mike Smith during the offseason. This Mike Smith.
Nice.
He's just the ultimate bro, like country bro.
Yeah.
He's got a generic-ass tribal tattoo. But he went to Texas Tech and then played in the NFL a little bit. He's now the outside linebacker coach. Listen to this rant. It was three times longer than you're about to hear. But Mike Smith, who's a pretty laid-back dude, does not want to hear that crap about double-digit sacks.
I don't know what happened. A long time ago, somebody, this is probably when they started recording sacks, or, you know, fans, coaches, whoever it may be, defined a great pass rusher having a great season or effective pass rusher off a sack. And that's I hate to use the word stupid, the stupidest things I've ever seen. And I'm sorry I'm kind of worked up on this, but I'm sitting there. We were talking about it. And I said, all right, you take player A, and he had 13 sacks. Then you take we'll take player Z. He had 13 and a half. Who did you say is a better rusher? Well, you say they're both pretty consistent. They're probably about the same. Okay, so then you take player A that had 57 pressures on the year. Then you take player Z that over 100. Now who would you take? So that's why you have to look how they are affecting the quarterback. Are they affecting the quarterback with the pressures? Because sacks are important. Don't get me wrong. People think I don't care about sacks. For whatever reason, some people think if you don't have double-digit sacks, you got a bad year. I mean, I can't remember. This was like halfway through the year last year. And it was Von Miller. his interview with him, and he's down. I got to get my sacks up. Von Miller finished the year with 83 pressures. He only had 8 sacks. 83 pressures. There's only 6 people in the league that had 80 pressures. 2 had 90 and 2 had 100. That's an unbelievable year. You know, I mean, sorry to go on a rampage with that, but that's the things that you got to sell to your room.
Rampage. Preach, man. I mean, that's...
Thank you.
I mean, he is 100%
Thank
right.
you, Mikey.
This is exactly what we talk about with Jadeveon Clowney. Well, you know, Jonathan Grenard had as many sacks as he did. Jacob Martin had as many sacks as he did. You may want to watch a little closer and how they're game planning and what he's doing and how he's affecting the opposition. I mean, couldn't agree more.
Good stuff, Mike Smith.
Yeah, couldn't agree
Thank
more.
You. That's for all you Clowney haters out there. Going around the NFL here on Sports Radio 610. The mood in Indianapolis, jovial. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is almost like it's almost like a Bible study. Honestly, I feel like someone's about to offer me a casserole if I stay around or something. Like, you almost feel like you're at church when you hear the Colts talk. Tennessee, they almost want people to shut up about last year. They really, truly are putting in a massive effort to move past that. And there's also a little controversy over who's going to call the defense. Mm-hmm. DP's gone. Mike Vrabel's defensive coordinator the last 2 years. A lot of uncertainty as to who's going to call plays. That seems to be the main dialogue going on. But the moods are completely different. Tennessee, I don't know if it's focused, but there's a committed effort. Taylor Lewan used the word crossroads when describing where they're at. And the Colts, I mean, good Lord. I almost feel like I'm at a church or something like that. And not a white church, like a black church, like an exciting black church. Mm-hmm. Like that's what I feel like when the Colts talk. Like, they are in a good mood, very good mood.
Yeah, but I don't agree with you on the Titans. I think just because there's not a lot of news doesn't mean that there's not a lot of, you know, focus and that intensity that they have. And in fact, it could mean more. They're just like, let's just keep our mouths shut. Let's go to work. You know, they've had a couple of transactions.
I don't know about them, though.
I still have my doubts about Ryan Tannehill, but they gave him the contract. That's their guy.
I think he has the best weapons.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, they've got a lot of weapons now that they didn't have last year that you weren't going to count on last year. No, I think they're just being... They're just being serious about it. They're being serious and quiet about this upcoming season. Whereas the Texans obviously have the headline makers and Deshaun and JJ, and Colts are like, they're becoming a really, really trendy pick.
What's up with them?
The Colts?
Why are they so happy?
It trickles down, man. I mean, their head coach and general manager are just that kind of guy, those kind of guys.
Like, they're so uplifting.
They are. They absolutely are.
I don't know what to make. The Titans, a lot of times when you make an AFC championship game, you come tumbling down. They're not going to tumble down like the Jags did in 2017. That's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't know. I don't know if last year was just one of those runs or if the Tennessee Titans are building something. It feels like of all the teams, and this is weird, but of all the teams that are potentially building something, the Colts do feel like the team that has something going in the right direction. Texans could figure something out. I mean, this offense, after seeing it in person and everything, I still have my reservations about the defense, but this could be an offense where Deshaun Watson takes the next step and he's in MVP discussion. I could easily see that.
Absolutely.
But there's a lot of uncertainty. The Colts seem like they're building something, and it seems like I think it's going to be easier for the Colts, what they're trying to do on offense, to be clicking early on than the Texans, because the Texans, there's going to be a lot of timing. Deshaun's going to have to figure it out with the running backs, the receivers. They're going to have to figure
it out. They do have a new quarterback.
The Colts just have to run the rock, though.
I know, but it's a veteran quarterback.
But he's just going to spread the rock. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Hopefully I'm wrong. I hope the Texans have the best offense in the league, and we're talking about the Texans.
I do think the Titans are the most intriguing team. I don't think there's... You know, I don't think it's awkward or a bad vibe, as you and John Harris were talking about earlier. I just think they're intriguing because I think Derrick Henry is going to come back and just ball out. Some people don't. You know, it's hard to bounce back from a 1,600-yard season after getting all that and a run into the AFC Championship game. I think Brown is going to be an incredible wide receiver, but he's still just entering his second year. And I still have some questions about Tannehill and who knows about who's calling the defense, as you mentioned earlier. They're intriguing, but I don't think they're going to – I don't think it's a big fall off.
6379 on the text line says, and then you have the Jags, who are borderline a non-factor. That is extremely true. It is In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Let's go live to NRG. Kenny Stills had a very good practice yesterday. We'll hear what Kenny Stills has to say about football and life on the field as well. Live trip to NRG to talk to one of Deshaun's favorite targets next.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Deshaun Watson trusted Kenny Stills last year in the most important moments of the Texans season against the Saints. Less than 1 minute left. Finds Kenny Stills for what should have been the game winning, but ended up being just the go-ahead touchdown before the Texans lost on the final play of the game. You also had the game on the road against Tennessee late in the season to take control. Kenny Stills caught the first two touchdowns there. And the only time the Texans with Deshaun Watson as quarterback scored a touchdown on the opening drive was in Kansas City when Deshaun found Kenny Stills 4-6. Kenny Stills had a good practice yesterday. He looked very, very good. And he met with the media earlier today to talk about being the only player on the Texans outside of whatever that Vanderdose, to opt out. Kenny Stills almost opted out this season and decided not to play in 2020. Here is Kenny Stills talking about that and more live at NRG.
Hey, Kenny, what were your main concerns or things you were thinking about when it came to whether or not to opt out, and what ultimately was the deciding factor in you deciding to play this season?
I mean, obviously you think about, you know, safety of yourself, safety of your family. You think about, you know, what's going on in our country right now. I feel like sports really are a distraction from the movement. I feel like, you know, there's other things that are way more important than playing football or playing sports at the moment. And so a lot of things went into the decision to opt out or play. And, you know, after speaking with people that I was close to and some of my teammates, that I could be more of a benefit to this team and to the movement, you know, on the inside, you know, trying to be a leader, working with my teammates, working with the staff here, working with the league.
Kenny, I wonder, did you see the comments that Roger Goodell had in his conversation with Emmanuel Acho?
I saw the headline saying that he wished that he would have listened to Colin earlier, yes.
Okay, well, I guess I was wondering, he brought you up in it, and he said that he didn't talk to Cap back then, but he did talk to you a lot. And I was wondering what your conversations were like then, and what do you think about his response now when he wasn't, you know, supportive back then to you guys that were the, you know, the few that were kneeling back then?
Honestly, I don't really have too many thoughts about it. He can say whatever he wants to say now, but in a sense, if we would have taken a more, like, stern stance and he would have listened to us at the beginning of this, there would have been so many lives that could have been saved. There's a lot of, you know, progress that we could have made within our law enforcement, within our police. And so, you know, it's a nice gesture, I guess, to say he wishes he would have done something different. But look at, you know, the NFL. We're, you know, supposed to be kind of the leaders in our country, and I feel like we figure out a way always to be on, like, we're not, how do I want to say this, we're reactive instead of proactive when it comes to a lot of the issues in our country and within the league as well. And so, you know, I hope that we can do a better job moving forward of listening to our players, understanding our issues, and doing something about it.
I know you've had a long history of activism and actually being out with the people and doing things. With the coronavirus still, especially it being a hot spot here and you playing and having to be tested all the time, is it going to limit the things that you're able to do while you're playing this season?
I don't think so. Just try to, you know, wear my mask and follow the protocols as much as possible. You know, there was a big event in Kentucky over the weekend for Breonna Taylor, Breonna Con, that I didn't get the chance to go to. But, you know, I've, you know, thought about going to OB and asking them, hey, you know, is it okay if I, you know, get out of here to go be involved in the movement? So it's not something that I'm really worried about. It's more just trying to, you know, find a balance between what we've got going here as a team and, you know, what's going on within the movement, understanding that we have our first game in 16 days. And, you know, I want to perform for my teammates, for the fans here, and represent myself in, you know, the best way possible on the field.
Kenny, this is our first chance to ask you about this. What did you think when you heard that Bill O'Brien says he's going to take a knee with you and your teammates during the national anthem this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a nice gesture by Coach.
Kenny, while peacefully protesting outside of Daniel Cameron's home, they arrested you and 86 others, including some Houstonians like Trey the Truth. And they initially charged you all with felonies for a peaceful protest. Your thoughts on that? Obviously, they withdrew that charge, but the misdemeanors, I believe, remain pending. What's your thoughts on kind of the, what a lot of people have called overcharging in this?
Yeah. The felony charge in my mind was to try and, you know, make a statement to us, but also was a way for them to keep us in jail for longer. You know, we ended up being in handcuffs and within the system for 17 hours. And so, you know, for a minor offense, you'd be in and out. But I think, you know, they were trying to send a message to us, you know, for us being on his property. But, yeah, I think that's all it was.
It's Kenny Stills live at NRG. It sounded like he was very serious about potentially opting out. I know that was something that was kind of dumped into the Peter King thing, but he's not opting out. And I'm telling you, I was at practice yesterday. Kenny Stills is a guy who Deshaun Watson trusts a lot. Deshaun Watson has a lot of faith in Kenny Stills. And I know some people on the text line are saying, well, sounds like a guy who doesn't even want to play. Trust me.
No.
Yesterday, when Kenny Stills gets between the lines, when the Texans made a mistake at the end of situational 11-on-11 where there was a false start that it would have ended the game, nobody was more pissed off than Kenny Stills. He was walking to the sidelines. He was saying, we got to get this right. We got to get effing right, talking to his teammates and stuff. So, yes, he's got a lot going on inside his head. He's got a lot going on off the field. But when he's on the field, Kenny Stills is ready to go. He's ready to play. He's 100% focused. He's a professional.
He is a professional, and he's a guy that is not going to allow himself to be defined by catching a football. And a lot of people, I shouldn't say a lot of people, some people might not like some of the things that he says and does, like thinking about opting out of practice to go to a social justice rally, ended up not doing that. I could see why that would bother some people. I'm not, you know, passing judgment on you. What I am saying is he's a guy that doesn't want to be defined by one thing. That doesn't mean that one thing he's mailing in, because he's not. He's been really productive, and he's been a big playmaker for Deshaun Watson.
He was into it.
Yeah.
The people that were into practice, the people that were the most frustrated when it seemed like it was the right time to be frustrated, Kenny Stills was that guy. Tomorrow we're going to get our first taste of a little Blacklock action. We're going to get a little Ross Blacklock from out there. So keep it locked. We'll hear from him tomorrow. We'll be 16 days away. Kenny Stills with a lot of stuff. You can see the whole interview or listen to the whole interview at sportsradio610.com if you so choose. Kenny Stills, Brandon Cooks, Will Fuller, Randall Cobb. We know they're going to be the top four receivers. I don't know what's going to happen after that. DeAndre Carter at practice yesterday, Bill O'Brien was following him around, especially on punts. Mm-hmm. Carter dropped two punts yesterday. He was the only one who dropped a punt in the entire time that they were doing punt return drills. So a lot of people still mad at Carter for what happened against the Chiefs. I think that's something to keep an eye on.
It's going to be tough sleeping at night for several guys that are vying for that position. Kiki QT, DeAndre Carter, Chad Hansen. Those three guys, I think you're going to have to fit one of those three guys into that role, and they're vying for it. And Hansen did all right, huh?
He looked good.
Yeah.
He looked good. Carter did not, but he looked good. Carter did not, and Bill O'Brien was right there watching him. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. We're about an hour and a half away from Rockets versus Oklahoma City Thunder Game 4. Rockets might be in the danger zone. That's the bad news. The good news, it was a good weekend in the NBA. There was some very entertaining stuff that happened, including the best interview ever. The best post-game interview ever, possibly. But I'll let you be the judge of that. We'll also talk about a huge week for the Astros, as well as an even bigger week for the Texans that could be impacted by a hurricane.
Yeah.
This is something to keep an eye on Thursday. Obviously, we hate when the tropical weather comes in around here. Texans need this tropical storm to blow over more than most. We'll tell you why next.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Rockets play less than 90 minutes, looking to take that 3-1 lead over Oklahoma City. They let one get away. And I got to tell you, if James Harden's the most hated guy in the NBA right now, Luka Doncic might be the most loved player in the NBA right now.
I'm telling you, man. The last thing I ever thought I would be is a fan of a Dallas Maverick. I mean, I despise the Dallas Maverick. I love this guy. It's hard not to love him. Part of it is also he's a youngster. Everybody likes kids. You know, the young guys in the NBA kind of planting their stake in the ground and making a big moment. But this guy's been doing it for 2 years now, and he just had the greatest playoff game any 21-year-old has ever had. I said that earlier, and somebody said, what about Magic, you know, in the NBA Finals? That would be the other possibility, but I think he was 20.
It was game 7.
I think he was 20 when he stepped in for Kareem.
Kareem got hurt.
So if you're going to put this performance next to that one, you're doing something right. And, you know, he was pretty athletic the whole time too.
Boban of the Mavs. That's an interesting watch right there. 7'4". Mm-hmm. You know his parents were 5'3 and 5'4"?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Lord only
knows. How do you come out 7'4" when your parents are 5'3 and 5'4"?
It had to have been like some, you know, ancient ancestor was a giant or something, you know. This is going to sound weird because he lumbers when he runs up the court. When he gets the ball in his hands, he's pretty limber.
He handles the business.
Yeah, he's pretty limber with it.
And he was a big part of their win over the weekend. And instead of Luka, this was after game 2, Boban got the post-game interview, I am selling this, and I want you to tell me if I'm overselling it, as the most entertaining post-game interview ever, courtesy of the NBA on TNT.
Boban Jovanovic, a.k.a. U-Rang. I love you. I love the way you play. Tell your family over in your country that. Is it true that your mom is 5'3 and your dad is 5'4"?
This is true. But by the way, I'm first time here and I'm nervous and I'm scared because my headphones don't fit on my ears and my head. You know, like I was like, I hope so. If I broke it, I'll buy a new one, I promise.
Chris Webber was talking about the other night when Porzingis got tossed, you walked him up the ramp and he said, just talking to people in the organization, you have been a great mentor to him. Is that true?
I hope so. If he said that, I guess I would take it. But, you know, like, because I need to calm down. I don't want to do something stupid, like learn on his mistake.
The fact that you do your job, I think that's what is your role as you think coming into the game? You explain it as I tried to at halftime.
You know, I will take that compliment because every time Luca worked for me, now I work for him, and I think he need to buy me drink for that or dinner. But you know, like I try just to stay ready, you know, do my job, do little things, you know, help the guys to. If I go on a court, I try to don't walk and try to help my teammates because this is like team sport.
Boban has been through my experiences. Anybody with the last name Vich that's come from your part of the world, Serbia, has been great shooters. My question is, are you a great shooter?
You know. Like I was like, you know, I have a lot of coaches in my career and everybody tell me to, I hope so, I know to shoot, but I don't shoot often. And I'm still working on that. Work in progress. Loading. Three dots.
Three dots. Loading. Hey, so even though you were great in the movie John Wick this summer.
Oh, that was unbelievable. Yeah, that was him.
If that happened in real life and it wasn't in the script, wouldn't you kick Keanu Reeves' ass?
Oh, hey, of course, my friend. Of course, trust me. I saw that from Shaq. I saw he's in a lot of movies and he kicked everybody's ass. I was like, okay, I tried to do the same, but I get the opposite. They kick my ass. So I forgot words.
Tell me about the joy you get out of playing this game and playing it in this league?
You know, I think I enjoy in every moment because I have like up and down stuff. I learned to enjoy in my life, enjoying every moment. If I play, I'm blessed with my high, I'm blessed with my not speed, but you know, still smartness in my basketball game. And I try to enjoy in every moment and to have a smile on my face. This is like all about.
It has been a delight to have you on Boban, our show inside the NBA.
Boban, before Thank we you let guys. You go, I gotta hear it. You rang.
You rang.
Yeah.
I love
you, Boban. I love you, Boban. Thank you, brother.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
And thank you guys because choose me and not Luca. First time.
Okay.
Dude, I want him to be on the Rockets.
He's so cool.
What about him and his wife? She's about 5'1" and he's 7'5". Look at that.
I've seen the pictures. Kind of makes for some interesting possibilities, doesn't it? I mean, have you thought about these things? I'm sure you have.
I just did because of you.
Yeah. Paul's standing up.
He is.
I was talking about her.
Oh, okay.
You know Lopez. He's a lightweight, kind of creepy guy.
Paul George is getting... There was some headline porn where people were saying he took shots at James Harden this weekend. Not even close.
No.
Like that. It read worse than it actually was said. And I think that's the problem on social media is people are saying this and then all of a sudden they go back, well, maybe not. Then don't type it, dumbass. Like, you do all of the research and actually understand the whole... Like, these days, especially with everything that's going on all over the place, like, if you're going to read a quote... Go back and try to listen to it before you press send. And I know not everybody has to be responsible for it, but because it's just a thing. But, man, I mean, he was clearly not taking a shot at James Harden. And everybody's in such a hurry to, like, say so-and-so said this. He wasn't at all saying anything bad about James Harden. If anything, he was actually complimenting James Harden. And the only reason he brought up having a complete game is because it was in the reporter's question.
Right.
And, of course, the reporter goes there and puts it out, and everybody's like, oh, this is just a bad shot at James Harden. Even my boy Tim McMahon did it of ESPN. Tim, get it together, buddy.
Yeah, no, you know, it wasn't a shot by any stretch. Paul George has his own problems he's got to worry about right now. Just knocking down some shots and getting things done.
And he's called Playoff P for some reason, which Charles Barkley decided to roast him for. He doesn't think that a guy like Paul George, who's never been to the finals or anything, should be called Playoff P.
Playoff P can't keep getting no passes. And listen, let me tell you something.
What kind of passes are you giving him?
No, because you can't be calling yourself Playoff P and lose all the time. They don't call me Championship Chuck.
Championship Chuck.
Hey, CC.
Yeah, when I walk around here, nobody be saying, hey, CC, what's happening? I've never heard that around
Let me see that ring.
He's not wrong. He is not wrong.
Man, if the Rockets are able to beat the Lakers in the next round, yeah, I'm putting them in there. Don't worry about it. It'll be cool, I think.
I think they're there.
What if the Mavs, pull off this upset, I mean, you want to talk about as good of a path as you could possibly have. I don't want to say it's laid on a tee, but the Mavericks could be handling the Rockets' dirty work right now because I think the Mavs match up a little bit better with the Clips. They would be doing them a huge favor.
I just think the Mavs right now are going to be a problem for anyone in front of them. Look, if you can knock out a higher seed, you take it and then take your chances against the lower seed. So I would much rather the Lakers and the Clippers not be in the way, but that doesn't mean that the Mavericks aren't going to be a problem. Luke, what Luka did yesterday fast-tracked him to greatness. He's already a great player. I mean, there's no question. He's a great player. But I'm talking about one of the all.
What do you mean?
Like, people are going to be talking about this performance with all the great performances, the Magic performance, the Bird performance, the Jordan 60-point game.
About LeBron 24 straight against the Pistons.
20, yeah, exactly. And you know, 60 against Boston for Michael Jordan early in his career. Now, there's still a lot of work to do, but he's put himself in that category. You know, Magic, Bird, Jordan, as youngsters. The performances.
Okay, Just the performance.
The performances right, they had.
Make yourself clear because you're going to blow up the text
line. No. I made it very, very clear. What he did yesterday is on a par with all those early in career performances that those guys had.
Jordan Little 60 against the Celtics.
Exactly. Bird's early performance. Magic's early performance. LeBron's early performance. Now, there's a lot of work to do to build on that and to move on from that. But he's fast-tracked himself to that kind of legacy.
We're going to have to do a race card two-piece.
Okay.
Race card two-piece. Race card number one involving Luka. Race card!
You know which one this is.
What
right?
did you make of Montrezl Harrell calling him a punk-ass white boy?
This might not be the most popular thing to say. I didn't think it was that big of a deal.
It was a BA white boy, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't. Given the option to redo, I don't think he would have said it because it's quiet in those places. People pick up on what you're saying. But let's just be honest. We've all heard that, 150 times, 200 times in a gym somewhere, right?
I've been called it many a times.
Yeah.
I'm a white boy.
Yeah.
Damn, that's one crazy-ass white boy. Landry's a crazy-ass white boy or something like that. I've heard it.
It's not.
I mean, let's be honest, though. Like, let's not compare that to the alternative if the shoe were on the other foot. If we're getting to that point,
well,
let's just
it's kind of like White Man Can't Jump, if you've seen that movie.
Exactly.
Just trash talk.
But what I hate is the Twitter police overreacting and saying things like, well, what if Luka said that to Harrell in terms of his appearance?
Yeah, I don't
think. Dude.
Come on.
I know what you're getting at, Twitter. You're getting at, the N-word or some sort of, that's not even in the same several hemispheres.
I'm just glad they shook hands and that was the end of it, honestly. Race card number two involving Luka. Race card! 15 minutes from now, Ron the Show Hughley and Clint Sterner are going to take over for us. Ron the Show Hughley, after Luka's performance, said in response to one of Nick Wright's tweets, and the production from Luka and LeBron statistically, it's pretty similar, but Ron the Show Hughley said Luka plays so much like LeBron minus the athleticism. Your reaction to race card numero dos?
As soon as he tweeted that, it came across my timeline. So within probably a minute, I replied, hashtag race card. Mostly kidding, but not altogether kidding. Because I said this to you and Figgy. Name me a player, name me an athlete, white, black, Asian, Hispanic, whatever, that is not athletic, that is not supremely athletic, if you score 43, 17, and 13. You can't go 43 points, 17 rebounds, 13 assists, and not in the NBA playoffs, mind you, and not be an athletic freak. You can't do it.
I don't know how Luka's not athletic.
He's not. I mean, he is.
He's not as athletic as LeBron, but I don't know what. I don't know. I was.
That.
I don't know.
Again, I was really just kind of tweaking at Ron.
Giving him a hard time.
But there is even behind kidding, when you're kidding someone, there's a reason you're doing it. And my reason is you got to be nuts. You got to be nuts to think that that's not athleticism.
I don't watch Luka and say, man, that guy's not athletic.
Yeah, he's just so slow. And
he's out there breaking dudes off.
Dude, guys don't want to guard him.
He's punching, too. He'll punch if you want. Like, it ain't like the guy can't touch the rim. There's tape.
Yeah.
If you want to see him punch, he will punch.
Yeah.
That's what he'll do. But it'll be interesting. Rockets, again, hour 13 minutes. We'll see how they react to giving one away in game three. Eric Gordon, minus 29, plus minus last game, coming off being plus 23 from best to worst. Might want to play a little bit better than that, especially if Westbrook's not going to play. Astros, they've lost three straight. They just got swept by the Padres. Normally you would say that's a big deal, but in this playoff format where second place gets you into the dance and the Rangers have lost eight in a row, Rangers lost three straight to the Mariners.
Yeah.
The Mariners. The
Mariners are awful.
You're 4.5 up. There's really nothing to worry about. Unless the Astros continue to look bad this week. You're going to have the Angels today. They're in last place in the division. You can basically bury them because you're going to be halfway through the season by the time you get done with that.
Yeah.
Then you got the A's. By the way, Mike Fiers will not be pitching in the juice box. He's going to be pitching in Arlington instead. And then you're going to have the last-ditch effort by the Rangers. So, three big series. If the Astros have a good week and their next 10 games are at home against the division, I mean, you could be...
You could mark up the playoffs.
Just wiping your hands clean and saying, playoff time, let's get it, and allow these guys that are going to be back eventually to get healthy, get back, and be ready to go.
And back to the Rockets, your first point there. Eric Gordon obviously is going to be... He's going to have a target on his back if the Rockets can't get this thing going.
I don't like watching him play.
I think he's good.
I think he's okay, but I just don't like watching him play basketball.
Well,
he's not good enough to have palms up after every call. You're not Tim Duncan.
Now that
You're not Tim Duncan. Yeah. It annoyed me when Tim Duncan did it. You're Eric Gordon. You're not good enough to have palms up
I
after
get
every
that.
Play. I'm sorry. I don't need you arguing every call, buddy.
No, I do agree with that. But what I was going to say
I
is
I just don't enjoy watching
it's,
him.
Everyone on the Rockets right now is not making threes. I think it's 30%, 31% the last two games as a team from three-point range. And then, of course, who's it always come back down to? The guy that's the face of the franchise. James Harden is shooting just over 20% from three-point range over the last two games. That's the difference. Start knocking down shots. I mean, you got to give obviously some credit to the Thunder, but you start knocking down some shots, you win this thing going away.
Little Rockets action in about an hour and 10 minutes. Astros 8-10. Post-game with yours truly tonight on Sports Radio 610. We'll talk to Adam Spillane. We'll hear from Dusty Baker here on Sports Radio 610, the post-game show. Texans in full pads today. Apparently, it was a good day for the DBs. Lonnie Johnson with his second straight really good day of practice. Big scrimmage on Thursday. Something to keep an eye on.
The Hurricanes,
for obvious reasons, and the number one reason is because of all of our fellow Houstonians. Shout out to the Loopholes if you listen to our Loophole. But when it comes to the Texans being 17 days away, and at that time they'll be 2 weeks away from facing the Kansas City Chiefs on Thursday, if they can't get that scrimmage in...
That would be different.
That would be a problem because this is going to be the first evaluation of legit in-game situations that the Texans need. I still think they got to evaluate some guys on both sides of the rock. They need this scrimmage to go down.
I've been saying all day that I think it's a little bit overvalued, and we're gonna see how overvalued it is. That all the crazy things you got to do from March all the way into August. That it's gonna be a pretty sharp group, come game day across the NFL, not just the Texans. If they miss that scrimmage, that's gonna be important for a couple of reasons. That's what they're counting on to kind of knock the rust out and go full speed, everybody but quarterbacks, to the ground, real hitting. And the second reason is you got cuts right after that. You got, next week or end of next week, I believe, if I'm remembering it correctly, you're going to have to start making some big-time decisions on some players. So, yeah, you...
Kahali, come in my office.
First things first, bring your playbook. I guess they don't use playbooks anymore.
Hey, DeAndre, before you eat that, come on in.
Bring your iPad. First things first, this is going to be a right hook and an uppercut of Hurricanes. So we got to get through that first, but it's definitely could affect the Texans.
Be a lot of rain, right?
Lots of rain. It looks.
You like my weather skills right there?
Yeah. Here's your forecast. It's going to rain.
It's going to be a lot of rain.
It's going to rain.
All right?
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. It's raining sideways, as they said on Family Guy.
Why did they pick cats and dogs?
Great question.
Is it just size?
I like to say it's a frog choker.
Is it just a size thing, though?
I guess.
Is that why they say cats and dogs?
Yeah, it's raining. Raining cats and dogs. But it looks like it's going to be kind of New Orleans, Marco, and then Laura's going to come up through Houston, but go right. Who knows? That's my forecast.
Oh, there you go.
Who knows?
Hey, nothing to worry about, nothing to see here, according to John Lopez.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, nothing to worry about. Breaking news here. No, I'm not even going to do that.
Yeah. It's going to rain.
I feel better about my forecast than yours.
Yeah, you should.
There's going to be rain.
Yeah, you should.
Promise you. Do you carry an umbrella in your car?
I used to. I don't know what happened to it.
Yeah, that's one of my problems. I don't do that. Mm-hmm. I just typically do not do that. Do you carry an umbrella, Figgy?
Nah.
Okay, see. Yeah. Probably not the
smartest. It's good intentions,
decision.
But I always forget.
Probably not the smartest choice, but,
Just be safe, man.
Be safe. A lot of stuff going on. Tomorrow, Ross Blacklock. We're going to hear from him live. We'll hear some from some other members of the Texans. We're going to look at the AFC South. There's different vibes going on. We'll also react to the Strohs. We'll react to what goes on with the Rockets. Will there be panic tomorrow? Will Chris Paul have even more life? Who knows? Just happy to be talking to y'all about it. Yesterday was a good day. Went to Texans practice, then did an Astros postgame show, then talk Rockets on KPRC2. So sports are in full effect, and we are here for you. For the OG John Lopez, for Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do, I'm Landry Locker. I'll talk to you tonight after the Strohs game on Sports Radio 610. But in the meantime, Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley are next.
And this world keeps on turning. Let's just be glad.
Thank you, Peggy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.